There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, distress on earth and the roaring seas, confused nations. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, and the very powers of heavens will be shaken. Jesus feels a little bit like Debbie Downer this week. No? You know that character Rachel Dratch plays over and over on SNL? You may be familiar with those sketches where everyone's having a good time at a party and then she says, "You know, the ice caps are melting and the polar bears are drowning." And everyone goes, "Debbie!" Womp, womp. I looked up her theme song this week. It's hilarious. You're enjoying your day, everything going your way, when along comes Debbie Downer, always there to tell you about a new disease, a car accident, or killer bees. You beg her to spare you, "Debbie, please," but you can't stop Debbie Downer. Womp, womp, right? And she's not wrong. Mad cow disease, train derailments, low birth weights in developing countries. These are all real things. But do they need to be talked about at the breakfast table on a family reunion trip at Disney World? No. Mike sometimes accuses me of the same thing. I wait until we're getting ready for bed to mention the most horrifying headlines or the things that I'm worried about. And then my anxieties become contagious and no one sleeps. Womp, womp, right? I don't know about you, but I've had to take the news headlines in small tidbits lately. The incoming presidential cabinet picks, another record-setting month of high temperatures, never-ending war, womp, womp, right? There's a lot of things to be afraid of these days, or at least it feels this way. And perhaps that combined with the colder temperatures, all of it makes me want to hit snooze on my alarm. I actually did that this morning. Pull a cozy IKEA duvet over my head and ignore the morning to the best of my abilities. And yet, from this Debbie Downer place, Jesus has very specific instructions for us. When these things begin to take place, stand up, raise your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. And then Jesus shares this parable about a fig tree, and it doesn't really feel like a parable at all. Usually parables have a twist, right? Like an aha moment, a sneaky plot point, a confusing finish. This one is surprisingly boring. It's very straightforward. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not. God is predictably boring, as a tree coming back to life in the spring. This is what trees have been doing since the beginning of time. They drop their leaves in the fall, and they go dormant in the winter. The fig tree in particular goes really dormant. They look very dead, shriveled and gnarled, weathered and barren. Just check out the fig tree by the parsonage. Saturday morning when we got that cold snap, it dropped almost all of its leaves at once. They're just in this sad looking pile, and there's all these sticks, and there's like one or two leaves left. It's dead. It's gotta be dead, right? But just wait. In the spring, they're going to get these ugly alien little green shoots, and then leaves, and then fruit, which is deliciously yummy with a fancy soft cheese and honey, right? The picture may be bleak. The future, for sure, looks scary. But God is dependably boring, consistently present, predictable and steady, with the promise that good things are also coming too. And I've been reflecting on this word that is more than a word for our week this week, hope. And I've caught myself saying it in these flippant, ordinary ways, almost like a blessing. To Theo, I said, I hope you have a good day at school. To Mike, when everyone was home on Wednesday, I hope the children aren't too wild. To my pastor friend, Brett, I hope the volunteers are actually helpful at your church's Thanksgiving dinner. Hope. It could come across as so flippant, right? But what if? What if hope is this genuine power we have in our grasp to will things to be good for those that we love in the midst of all the Debbie Downer things that we also encounter and live with? What if hope is this genuine power we have in our grasp to will things to be good for the ones we love? Predictably boring, ordinary, and yet life-changingly present and beautiful and necessary. Hope. Woody Guthrie, the American songwriter and composer, was not afraid to speak about things like truth and hope. Midwestern Oklahoma roots, his first folk songs were about his firsthand experience living through the Dust Bowl of the Great Depression. And from there, he went on to give commentary on socialism and politics. His most well-known song is This Land Is Your Land, right? Which was actually written to be a protest and a contrast to Irving Berlin's Pollyanna, idyllic, overplayed, God Bless America. He wasn't perfect, Mr. Woody Guthrie. He married 3 times, had 8 kids between those 3 marriages. He struggled with alcoholism, among many other things. But his convictions around music, he believed that music had the power to change the world. And this inspired so many others, especially musicians like Bob Dylan and Pete Seeger. And of course, we can't forget the boss, Bruce Springsteen, to name just a few. Woody Guthrie felt it was important to name the truth, to speak out loud the things that real people like Debbie Downer experienced, while at the same time his songs painted this vision of hope. While living in New York City in the middle of World War II, New Year's Day, 1943, Woody Guthrie made this list on the centerfold of his journal entitled New Year's Rulings. You can Google it and look it up. He listed 33 things, and some of these things were downright boring and predictable. Number 3, brush your teeth. Number 6, eat good. And then he lists fruits, vegetables, and milk. Number 11, change your socks. It doesn't get much more boring than that, right? But yeah, that's a good rule. Number 13, read lots of good books. And as I read this list, it made me wonder, what's the point of even writing these things down, right? And then I continued reading. Number 16, learn people better. Number 17, don't get lonesome. And then number 19, keep hoping machine running. Keep hoping machine running. And then all of a sudden, the earlier numbers make sense. We keep hope alive by getting out of bed, by facing the day, by changing our socks and brushing our teeth, doing those most ordinary, mostly boring things to take care of the bodies that God has given us. For this is how we are able to find the good. This is how we are able to find the good for our neighbors. And from this pivot point, Guthrie's list begins to get a little more serious. Number 20, dream good. Number 27, win the war, fight fascism. Number 31, Love everybody. Number 32, make up your mind. And the last one, number 33, wake up and fight. I wonder what would be on your list to keep your hopin' machine running. How can we pay attention to these big cosmic falling apart world things around us and also be present to the hope that is right here in our midst today, and the hope that is growing into fruition for tomorrow? Where are the ugly baby fig trees in your life? You know, Guthrie never put his concept of a hopin' machine into song, but others have, inspired by his list, including the Valenti's favorite kids musician, the Okie Dokie Brothers. And so my hope is this chorus from the Okie Dokie Brothers can be a blessing and prayer for you as we officially begin our Advent journey to Christmas. Dream good all night long. Rise up and sing your song. They say life is hard and they're not wrong. So keep your hope machine running strong. Amen. Thanks be to God.